Hi, Patrick Madrid here. Thanks for listening. Check out Charity Mobile and prayerfully consider making them your wireless carrier. Mention offer code Patrick and get a free phone. Go to charitymobile.com.
Compelling insights, unpredictable conversations, encouragement for your day. It's the Patrick Madrid Show on Relevant Radio.
Welcome back and a happy Taco Tuesday to you. My number is 888-914-9149. Let's go to Lorraine in Plain, Wisconsin. Hi, Lorraine.
Hi.
Hi.
Hey, I have a question. Are you there?
Yes.
Okay.
I'm here.
I have a question regarding the canonization process.
Okay.
I know if I'm not mistaken, there's different stages. Somebody goes, becomes like venerable and then blessed, and then they're finally canonized and acknowledged as being a saint. Mm-hmm. And my question is, why do we put them through those various stages? Because there's only one heaven. I would think if they're either in heaven or they're not. Right. So why do we put them through those various titles?
Okay, well, the way it begins with servant of God, that would be the first step, you might say. And that's a name that's a title, rather, that's designated for the person whose cause for canonization has been opened. In other words, there are plenty of people that you might assume are in heaven. And by the way, everyone in heaven is a saint by definition. And the Bible uses the term saint to refer to us here in this life as well. So you and I are saints in a biblical sense. But specifically, if the church is going to propose this person as worthy of veneration, number one, but also worthy of supplication, meaning that you ask that person to pray for you, to intercede for you, the church wants to make very certain that this person indeed was a saint. So the reason that there's a progression from going from servant of God to venerable to blessed to then saint is so that the church has gone through this rigorous background check, so to speak, and looking at all the evidence and talking to anybody who might have information, good, bad, or indifferent, so that the person's background and alleged sanctity has been proven. And this is where, in the latter two stages, beatification and being canonized as a saint, this is where the church requires a miracle, a bona fide miracle that cannot be explained by medical science. So to further raise the barriers so high that only people who really were saints are going to, the evidence of their life is going to surpass those barriers. The church puts these barriers in place to prevent somebody being canonized who turned out later to be a scoundrel. And there are people like that who lead double lives. You think, oh, wow, look at him. He's so holy. Look at him. And then you find out later that he was leading a double life. So the church wants to make sure that that doesn't happen. So as the process progresses and more and more and more of a preponderance of evidence showing the person was holy, that's where the cause would advance, say, from servant of God to then venerable, because more information is shown. Well, this is looking pretty good. And then beatification and then canonization. Does that explain it for you?
Yeah, kind of. Okay. I guess it sounds more like it's a human process. You know, we need to do it to basically protect ourselves.
I mean, that doesn't make... So let's say that you die and 50 years from now, 100 years from now, you're canonized a saint. Well, it doesn't change your status at all. I mean, you're already in heaven. You're already enjoying the beatific vision. If the church on earth raises you to the altars of canonization and proposes you as somebody in heaven who can intercede for those on earth, that's great. It's great for us, but it doesn't change your status at all. You don't move up to a higher place in heaven if you've been canonized. So okay. If that's what you mean, then yeah, that's true.
Okay.
Okay.
All right. That helps a little. Thanks.
I'm glad. Okay. Well, a little bit is sometimes good. Thank you. Let's go to Saul now in Chicago. Hello, Saul.
Hey, Patrick. I have a question that's more kind of for adults. So I
Is it a sexual topic that you want to ask about?
Yeah.
Okay. So I'll just give fair warning to parents. If you have children, if this is not a topic that is suitable for younger ears, then just turn the radio down for a couple of minutes. And that's fair warning, right, Cyrus? Ready, steady, go. Fair warning. All right, Saul. Be discreet, however. I beg of you.
Yeah. So regarding sexual purity, chastity, masturbation, how feasible is it, for people, even Christians, Catholics, even religious, even priests and nuns and stuff, to not at all fall any time in their life? And is it like, because it's a, the body was created to reproduce, and there's like a, certain processes that occur naturally, production of, of semen and cycle.
Are you wondering whether or not this is a sin that priests and nuns could fall into? Is that your question?
Well, no, exactly. Whether sometimes whether it's always necessarily a mortal sin.
Okay, that's a different question. What did the priests and nuns have to do with it then? Where did that come from?
I've spoken to some priests, and and they said, "Oh well, it's not necessarily a mortal sin, and that they sometimes do it like every 3 months or something." And
okay, I understand this now. All right. Well, first of all, it is a mortal sin. Now there are some circumstances where, and I won't go into them, but there are some circumstances where maybe you're not completely culpable for extenuating circumstances. You're not culpable for something that takes place while you're asleep because you don't have any freedom to do. I mean, you're not freely choosing to do something that you know that is wrong. And sometimes the body just simply reacts in certain ways when one is asleep and you can't do anything about it. It just happens. So that's a natural phenomenon that doesn't involve guilt or anything like that. But if it is intentional, then it certainly is a serious sin. It certainly is a mortal sin. And all you have to do is to go back to the story of Onan in the book of Genesis and see how, in his case, he did the rough equivalent of that. It wasn't exactly that, but he did something very akin to it. And God struck him down, struck him dead because he had done that. So there is there's certainly a biblical warrant for the fact that this is a serious sin and shouldn't be done under any kind of circumstances. But the main thing is, if somebody has told you that it's not necessarily a mortal sin, that's simply not true. It is an intentional misuse of your procreative powers in a way that is radically selfish. And it's dissociated from the Marriage Act, which is where it's properly supposed to be. So I hate to be the bearer of bad news, but that is the bad news. It is a serious sin. And even though it might have been a priest who tells you that it's not, that priest is wrong. So I wouldn't follow his advice on that. I hope that's helpful, Saul. Thank you. Let's go to Ed now in Raleigh. Good morning, Ed.
Hey, Patrick. Good morning.
Yes, hi.
Hey, I don't have data on this, but I have anecdotal observational information. I went to a military academy, and I'm simply addressing something you said about an hour ago regarding the decrease in the number of recruits and things like that.
Yeah.
And
yeah, that was from Stripes. I think the Stripes was the source of the article, if it's the same one that I'm thinking of. But go ahead, Ed.
Right. So here's my point. If you look at pictures whether it's Army, Navy, Marines, you will always see a woman in a recruiting picture. Okay? Should women be in the military? They have their choice. But one of the issues, in my opinion, and hearing it anecdotally, is because there are women in these pictures, it decreases the number of guys that join. Okay? And the irony of it is, when you join as a man or as a guy, you're not necessarily there with any women, but they give you the impression that you are. Okay? There are some units where there are women, but when guys see women in these military pictures, just psychologically, I say, in my opinion, and I've heard it because I've been there, guys aren't joining. It's just, they want to be warriors. They will not show, which they could show, some serious Spartanian, I'm going to use the term studs, that would do more for recruiting in pictures than having a combination of men and women in pictures.
Fair enough.
There are some serious warriors, and if they showed that, it would be very, very attractive and increase the number of people joining.
Fair enough. Fair enough. I don't disagree. I don't dispute that, Ed. But we have to take into account the fact that the Pentagon is ruled by people who are brainwashed into wokeism and all the, you know, the silly ideologies that are running rampant there now. And so those are the people who are making policy decisions for the military. And until and unless those people leave and more sane people take their places, I think we can expect more of the same.
Yeah. And, you know, I'm not trying to really stir the pot, but, you know, it's like a little boy, 7 or 8 or 9, just because of how little boys and girls are, they may not want to associate with each other because they want to play with boys and they want to play with girls. I think it's the same thing with ultra servers and decrease in vocations, the reduction of vocations, because God bless them, you got these really, really sweet, angelic boys and girls wanting to be altar servers, and a lot of boys will not possibly become altar servers. And if you only had guys up there, that's also a way for young girls and women to see what a good man or a good future husband's going to be like. And like this weekend, we had these 8-9-year-old little boys up there learning how to be altar servers, serving at Mass. And this is one of the only times in their life where people that don't even know them, men and women alike, can go up to that 8-year-old and go, "Wow, you look fantastic up there. You were serving God. You look so good. You were so in uniform."
I get it. I get it.
And the only time they get that is in sports, which is a ruse.
Well, Ed, I'm not sure what else to say. I think I understand the point you're making. With regard to the military, I think we're just stuck with the decreased level of common sense in a lot of those who are making these policy decisions. And so I guess this is where elections have consequences. So it strikes me as something that we need to work toward eradicating these substandard ideological views that they're enforcing upon the military. Anyway, I hope that's at least of interest, Ed. Thank you. I appreciate that. Let's go to Claudio in Las Vegas. Hi, Claudio.
Hello?
Yes, hi.
How you doing?
What's your question?
Well, not so much a question. It's more of a statement, I guess.
Okay.
This whole thing, Roe versus Wade, to me is a little ridiculous because, and then after I say what I say, I'll just hang up and you can answer. You know, nobody has an abortion lightly. I've heard on the show before, they're talking about most people that get abortions end up not staying in their marriage. I know about 4 people that had 3 kids. They all got divorced. And I know people that did have an abortion because they weren't ready to have a child. And they're still together.
Claudia, let me ask you a question. Do you think it's okay to torture people?
Who wants a fetus? I'm gonna hang up after I say it. And you can.
Hey. Easy. We can have a friendly conversation. I'm just wondering if you think it's okay to torture people. Do you?
To torture people?
Yeah.
I think if somebody hurt my family, I would go after him. Yeah.
Well, what if somebody hasn't gone after your family? They're just innocent and minding their own business. Do you think it's okay to torture them?
Torturing people. What has that got to do with? What has that got to do with having with terminating a pregnancy?
Yeah, I'm just curious because very often the way that pregnancies are terminated involves extreme physical torture for the unborn child. So that's part of it. I'm also curious, do you think it's okay to kill an innocent person?
I don't think it's okay to kill anything.
Okay.
But by the same token...
So then how can you then say you're in favor of legal abortion when that's exactly what happens? Life begins at conception, and that's an unborn person. So if you don't believe in killing unborn... If you don't believe in killing innocent people, why do you make an exception for those innocent people?
Well, why don't we go back to burning witches?
No, let's talk about this. You talked about abortion. I'm just curious if you... I mean, I agree with you. If you think it's wrong to kill an innocent person, why would you make an exception for these innocent people who haven't done anything?
Okay, and I was trying to answer your question. I said
okay.
If someone walked into my place and raped my daughter and killed my mom, I have no problem destroying them.
Yeah, but the unborn baby hasn't raped your mom or broken into your home. The unborn baby's just trying to stay alive, right?
Well, yeah, but also, I started by saying when I was a fetus, I don't remember all this pain you're talking about. I don't even remember when they poured water in my forehead in a Catholic church when they baptized me. So the way you present your scientific, that you say you feel for a child, in other words, you can tell that a child feels pain. You don't know that. You were once a fetus. Do you remember feeling anything?
Well, no, of course not, because when you're at that age, you're not going to remember things. Of course not. But that doesn't change the fact that you were still an innocent person. And I would have defended your
information.
I would have defended your right to life, Claudio, if somebody said, "Hey, let's kill that kid. You know, let's kill him." I'd say, "No, he's innocent. You can't kill him. He's innocent. He has a right to life."
And what would matter? Let me ask you this. I come from Argentina. I was born in Argentina. Recently, about a year and a half, give or take, they just made it legal because it was illegal before. Let's say my mother had decided to, for whatever reasons, economic reasons, which is why we ended up coming to this country, decided not to have me.
Mm-hmm.
What difference would it have made whether I was born or not?
Well, don't you see the answer to that question? I mean, think of your life, your friendships, the people you love, the people that love you, your opportunity to make something better of yourself, happiness, friendships,
okay.
All those things.
Okay.
I mean,
has somebody...
But why would it be okay for me or anybody to say, this unborn child who's going to be Claudio, I don't want him to be alive. Should I have the right to kill you just because I don't
well,
want you to be around?
Who's going
to
judge me in the end? Is it going to be... Listen, who's going to judge me in the end? Is it going to be the Supreme Court, you, or ultimately God for
of
my actions?
Of course it's God. It's the same God who said, thou shalt not
kill.
So
then let him do his job. Let him do his job.
Well, what about people who do other terrible things, like robbing banks or stealing or killing or doing other things? I mean, we shouldn't just sit back and say,
okay,
well, God's going to judge them,
thing.
Right?
Only evil thrives when good people do nothing, right?
Right. Edmund Burke said that. But Claudio, though, I mean, I want to come back to what you said. You said that you don't think we should kill innocent people. I agree with you. So why do you make a change in that policy when it comes to unborn babies? Why should those innocent people be allowed to be killed?
Well, Ron, you are comparing...
No, I'm just asking you a question. That's all. I'm just saying, since you and I agree, as you said, that you shouldn't be killing innocent people, not you personally, but just no one has a right to kill an innocent person... Why then do you make an exception for those innocent people? What's your logic that you would say if it's bad to kill innocent people, why is it okay to kill those innocent people?
So you're comparing a bunch of cells that is not even a human being yet to a fully grown person. Is that what you're comparing?
It's a human being. That's what human beings look like at that stage of development. That's what you look like.
No, it's not yet a human being. It's becoming slowly a human being.
No, that's not true.
And by
it's
the
a human
way,
life.
Hang on, though.
It's a human life, Claudio. Life begins at conception.
Not and yet. That,
oh, yeah.
It's
it does.
Becoming one.
No, it does.
Okay. Well, then, okay, then I can say this to you then. We're not all innocent because according to the Bible, we're all because of Adam and Eve, we're all sinners, right, when we're born.
No, we are participating in the condition of original sin, that they committed the sin, and that means that they couldn't hand down that nature with grace that God had given them. So they couldn't hand it down to us.
So I got to pay.
Not, that baby in the womb is not a sinner. The baby hasn't had a chance to commit a sin.
So we're paying for something somebody else did.
In a way, yeah. So if your father was a billionaire and you are the legal heir to his riches, and when you turn 18 or 21, you're going to get all that money, but then he does a crime and he goes to jail and he has to forfeit the money. It's not that you did anything wrong, but your father who committed the crime had to forfeit all that money that you would have gotten, but you don't get it. And in a way, you are kind of paying for his sin.
Okay, that's one way to look at it. I can say this. If God knows everything, then what was the reason for all these tests? He already knew we were going to fail anyways.
Out of
if
love.
He's the beginning and the end, the Alpha and the Omega. He knows
the
everything
answer,
before it happens.
That's
what was
true.
The point? What was the point of putting a tree in the Garden of Eden and then letting the devil tempt us to go do that? You see how it doesn't make no sense?
I think it makes a lot of sense. In other words, it's love. God created you out of love, and he wants you to know his love and respond to his love. But in order to love him, you've got to be free.
Right.
And by the way, in order to love him, you also have to have the right to life. So if somebody kills you before you can be born, you never have that opportunity to love. Isn't that a terrible thing, don't you think, to deprive somebody of the right to live? That's really bad.
No. We're a Christian, supposedly we're a Christian nation. It didn't really matter when we were dropping napalm in Vietnam and killing pregnant women, and that didn't really matter, did it?
No, it mattered terribly. It was a horrible thing. Those are terrible sins that were done.
Where were you guys then?
Well, I was during the Vietnam War. I was in high school, so I didn't have much of a say in the issue. But no, Claudia, though, I mean, we're kind of jumping from one thing to another. But all I'm wondering is, do we actually agree that killing innocent people is bad?
Okay, well, let me ask you this: there are people that don't want to do that. They don't want to do abortion. I don't know of anybody that ever went through an abortion and thought it was funny or lightly. That's a little spin you guys put on it.
No, not at all. All you have to do is look at all the people on social media who are celebrating their right to have an abortion. They're celebrating it. They're crowing about it. They love it. Not all of them do, but many of
because
them do.
Only because,
don't forget that.
It's not because of that. They're only doing it like in your face kind of thing. They're not doing it because they want to celebrate abortion. They're doing
No, they do want to celebrate abortion. I mean, you have to trust them when they tell you what their motives are. I trust them.
Okay, well, let me ask you this. People out there don't want to kill an innocent life, so they want to use, pills, or they want to use a condom. You guys are against that, too. You
what
guys
I'm
are
saying
against
here,
people fertilizing themselves.
Yeah, what I'm saying here, Claudio, it's really simple. You don't have the right to kill an innocent person. An abortion is killing an innocent, unborn person. It's wrong. It'd be like saying slavery is wrong. Can you think of an example or a situation where it might be okay to own slaves? Or is it always wrong to own slaves?
Now you're comparing apples to oranges.
No, I'm showing you a parallel here to say that if something is wrong, and I think slavery is, then it's wrong. It's always wrong. There's no acceptable time when it's okay for a white person to own a black person. It's always wrong. And the same is true when it comes to abortion, because it's even worse than slavery. You're not merely enslaving the person, you're killing the person. It's always wrong.
Okay. If we're going to be cynical about it, I can turn around and be cynical and say, well, look at all the little boys that the Catholic Church molested. Would it be fair for me to say that to you?
No, you could say that like you just did, but it's a non sequitur. That's a logical fallacy. It doesn't have anything to do with the question of whether or not unborn babies deserve the right to life. And yes, by the way, there are plenty of evil priests out there and bishops and cardinals who have molested children, and that's a crime, and they should be in jail. They should be punished, and if they don't repent, they're going to go to hell. But none of that has anything to do with this issue.
You know, you're right. I got a great idea. Let's take all the children that we won't have any more abortions. We'll just send them to the Vatican, and they can take care of them. How's that?
You know what? We're already a couple steps ahead of you.
What?
The Catholic Church is at the forefront in terms of taking care of orphans and widows, free medical care, food banks, soup kitchens. The Catholic Church has been doing that for well over 1,000 years. And so we're already doing that. We already do, and we'll continue to take in these children and provide
for them. You could probably do more with all the wealth you have.
Probably. But you know what? I'd rather see that, Claudio, than see people like you who say, yeah, just kill them. Just kill them.
I didn't say that. In fact,
well, you wouldn't back away from it. I gave you like 15 different opportunities to back away from that. And effectively, that is what you're saying, that you think abortion is okay, even though it's killing an innocent person. That's evil, man.
I was very promiscuous, and I told the girls I was with, if something happens, I don't want to abort the child. But that doesn't give me the right to tell the guy across the street, hey, you're a murderer for doing it.
Sure it does. You have the right to say, this is evil. You have that right. If somebody is a racist, you can say, that's evil. If somebody's in the KKK, you can say, that's evil. You have that right. Now, I don't know if you have a guilty conscience that's bothering you, and maybe this is why you're so adamant on this point. And if that's the case, the Lord loves you, and he wants to forgive you, and he will forgive you. But you have to be humble, and you have to be willing to accept that forgiveness. But bottom line is, if you are on the side that says that it's okay to kill innocent people, then you have aligned yourself with evil, and I hope you'll come out from that.
I like the way you put words in my mouth, because I never said that, but it's your
show,
man.
Isn't that what you're saying, though?
You know.
But isn't that what you're saying, though,
no.
Claudio? Do you think abortion is okay or not?
I said I was very promiscuous, and I told the girls, hey, if something happens,
no,
I
know
that.
I'm just saying, are you in favor of abortion?
But it doesn't give me the right.
Claudio.
But it doesn't give me the right.
Are you in favor of abortion? Yes or no?
I'm in favor of, depending on the situation and when it's done, terminating a pregnancy. I'm not going to use the word abortion.
Why not?
Because that's a term you guys like to use to sort of, you know, like a herd, you know, guide you into what you want me to believe or want me to say. So I'm not.
No, it's not that. I'm just using the term that was used by the Supreme Court in 1973 that ruled on Roe versus Wade being legal to have an abortion. They used the word. I mean,
well,
that's what it is.
People are drug addicts. Would it be right to bring a kid to the world?
Do you think it's okay to kill innocent people under some circumstances?
Not the way you're defining it.
How do you define it then? In other words, you said termination of a pregnancy. That's the ending of the life. You're ending that life. What other word is it than killing? If it's not killing, what is it? What are you doing?
Again, the scientific stuff you're bringing is not. Not everyone agrees with what you're saying scientifically. Well, you're saying that as soon as a person gets pregnant, that's already a human life.
Claudio, I'm glad you called me. I really am. And I'm always here for you. If you ever want to call back, you will be warmly welcomed here, okay? Let's keep thinking about this, Claudio. Let's keep thinking about this, okay? I'll be right back with more right after this. Hi, Patrick Madrid here. Thanks for listening to my podcast. In today's crazy world, finding companies that align with your Catholic values is a challenge. Your choice of cell phone provider matters. Cyrus and I switched to Charity Mobile, and you should too. Enjoy excellent coverage on America's most reliable network while supporting a pro-life, pro-family company. Use offer code Patrick for a free phone. Don't miss out. Act now at charitymobile.com. This hour sponsored by Solidarity HealthShare, the first to offer comprehensive sharing for prescription medications. Check now to see how much you can save. Go to CatholicHealthShare.com.
Compelling insights, unpredictable conversations, encouragement for your day. It's the Patrick Madrid Show on Relevant Radio.
All right, we are back. Thank you for listening. 888-914-9149. You know what I say when I say that you never know what kind of conversation you might hear on this program? Well, there's an example of that. And, you know, one thing to remember is there are a lot of people out there who feel just like the last caller does. And they deserve a good answer. They won't always stay on topic. You know, they often want to jump from one thing to another. But if you can kind of keep things focused and stick with something, maybe, just maybe, you can gain some ground with a person like that. So my hope on this program, at least, is that by hearing the very different calls that you get on this program, that will give you a little more encouragement and a little more confidence so that you don't have to be afraid of somebody who comes at you like that. Or challenges you or condemns you or, you know, whatever it may be. No need for you to go on the defensive. No need for you to get flustered. If you know how to stand your ground and you can help people. So maybe there's some value in that for you on this program. 888-914-9149. Let's go to Todd now in Wanakee, Wisconsin. Hi, Todd.
Hi, Patrick. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
Are you there? Oh, I'm sorry. Okay.
Yeah.
There's with this Supreme Court decision, I'm totally pro-life.
Okay.
I agree that life begins at conception. But my daughter works in the healthcare field, and she told me yesterday about a case that I never even thought would be possible, but I don't know anything about healthcare. And she said a woman came in, and she's having an ectopic pregnancy. And I'm sure you know what that means.
Yes. Mm-hmm. So what's
the
question?
The doctors right now are not going to operate to terminate that pregnancy because they don't know the laws, and this woman could die in the meantime. She's basically put in intensive care, and the doctors are afraid to do the operation because they don't know what the legal ramifications will be. And that is such a needless consequence of this law, and they need to get this figured out because this woman could die and the baby would not live anyways. But yet,
sorry to interrupt you, Todd. I just shared in the second hour, I think it was, a long article. It's in the National Catholic Register, and if you're interested, you can access it on the show page, relevantradio.com/Patrick. Just look in the lower right-hand corner, click on the Twitter feed. But it specifically addresses this issue. It is an ectopic pregnancy is not something that is prohibited by this law. Now, I don't know what the state law is in Wisconsin with regard to abortions, but ectopic pregnancies are not abortions. They are the therapeutic means of saving the woman's life by operating to remove, typically it's to remove the fallopian tube, and an unintended side effect is that the unborn child in the fallopian tube is going to die almost certainly. But that's different from an abortion, which is the intentional killing of the child through an abortion. This is something different. This is morally permissible, and the church says yes, to save the mother's life, you certainly can do that. So the law itself, it seems to me, does not include ectopic pregnancies in the prohibition. But that, again, is a state-by-state issue. But from what I've read, it essentially is not really an issue in any state. So if that article would be useful to you,
I'm just going by what my daughter said and working in the hospital and that. So I just wanted to bring that to light that they, you know, please write your senators and your representatives, whatever, make sure laws are specifically said that these things can't happen, because we don't want a loss of an innocent life of a woman when the baby would not have been born anyways.
And absolutely.
I don't want to see an unintended consequence. I know.
But to allay your fears, I share your concern. We obviously want to save every life we possibly can. And the mother's life is just as important as the baby's life. That's true. But one thing that may give you some encouragement is to know that the laws as they stand do not say that an ectopic pregnancy and the removal of the fallopian tube, for example, that would qualify under the abortion restriction. It's not part of that.
Okay, good. I was just, I was just concerned because my daughter works in healthcare, and she said that the doctors hesitated and did not operate because they don't know what the legal ramifications are yet. So I hope they get that all figured out. You know,
me too.
Just, I wanted to bring that to light. So
just
pray for this woman. I know you don't know her name, and I don't either, but just pray that everything goes well for her.
Indeed,
thank you,
we
Patrick,
will.
For everything
indeed,
you did.
We will. Yeah, thank you. I appreciate that. Yeah. So just keep in mind, everybody, in ectopic pregnancy and the medical procedure that's done to save the life of the woman, that is not an abortion. And it is not intended to end the life of the unborn child. That is an unintended negative side effect. This is where a term that's sometimes used called the principle of double effect comes in, where the effect that's unintended of the death of the unborn child, that's certain or nearly certain, but you're not doing anything immoral because that's not your purpose in conducting this operation. Let's see. Let's go to Jennifer now in Forest Hill, California. Hi, Jennifer.
Hi, Patrick. Wow, good to actually talk to Patrick Midgerhead. I just have a comment about the woke culture and the abortion topic, obviously.
Okay.
It used to be that when Roe versus Wade went through and all that, it was about getting women out of back alleys and having, you know, a safe place for them to have this procedure, which, don't get me wrong, I'm completely opposed to. But it's like they've gotten so extreme that even the good people on the left won't speak up to the full-term abortions where, you know, it's like they're afraid of offending anybody on the left, so they won't even speak up to something that is so obviously horrible, right? Mm-hmm. And then where would it end? Would it end, okay, are they going to just keep quiet if not only are they going to kill a child at full term, but would they kill a child at a week? Or will it go to a month?
Right.
Or
right.
2 years, or, you know, at what point, you know, they're not all bad people over there, you know, that are supporting this. And it's just, it's so disheartening that with, they won't speak up at any point, you know. So
right.
I just wanted to put that out there.
Yeah, no, it's the slippery slope argument, and that can be used in both directions. You can use it as a tool to demonstrate the fallaciousness of the pro-abortion position. In other words, if they say, well, you can kill this unborn thing up to a certain point, well, why that point? You know, why not a week earlier or a week later? So they set up all sorts of arbitrary thresholds, like when brainwaves are present or when you can detect a heartbeat. And those are purely arbitrary. They don't address the real question, which is this a human life? And so that slippery slope argument can be used to show the fallacy there by saying, at what point then do you accept this as human? And what happened? What exactly took place that suddenly makes this so-called clump of cells suddenly now human? Was it human 10 seconds ago? Was it human 60 seconds ago? Was it human a minute ago? Was it human yesterday? What actually changed that suddenly makes this clump of cells now human? And that becomes an intolerable position for them to try to defend, because there is no way to defend it rationally, because it is arbitrary and is purely subjective. So,
absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah, it just seems to me that there's nobody speaking up to any of it at any point that they would dare to go against this abortion rights, so they call it, you know, like, obviously anybody that sees a brand new baby would not want to kill that baby, but because it's just part of this, you know, this whole package, this whole abortion package, and their political position, that they're not speaking up against it. And it's just unbelievable, really, you know.
But I agree. I would leave it at this. I do have to take a break. So I leave it at this, Jennifer. It is certainly true that there are people who are afraid to speak up because they don't want to get shouted down, or they don't want to be looked down upon by people that they think that their opinion is important. They're worried about human respect in some cases. Some of them are slaves to their political party. That's also true on the Republican side as well. So there are plenty of people who are Democrats who are slaves to their political system, and they can't free themselves of the chains of being tied to abortion that the Democratic Party has. I would say that's also true on the Republican side, to the extent that people are not willing to do everything possible fiscally, let's say, to support families, to support mothers, to feed and clothe and educate these children. There are those who, for political reasons, they shrink back from doing the right thing to do because their party says, no, we're not going to do that. So I advocate, and it sounds like you and I are in agreement, I advocate that we should do the right thing, certainly, regardless of what any political party may say or do. Let's do what Jesus would want us to do. And when you do that, you're going to run afoul of political parties. And who cares? I don't care. The Democratic Party is not going to get you to heaven. The Republican Party is not going to get you to heaven. It's going to be doing these words that Jesus says to us. That's what will get you to heaven. Anyway, I'll take a break. Thanks for the call. I'm coming right back right after this. Catholic Order of Foresters is proud to sponsor the Relevant Radio Studio Line. For information about employment opportunities and flexible premium life insurance plans, visit relevantradio.com/forester.
Patrick Madrid is on Coast to Coast on Relevant Radio.
Now that's what I call a taco.
Get connected to the conversation. Call now, 888-914-9149. That's 888-914-9149. Patrick Madrid is on now. Relevant Radio.
You ready for some tacos, Cyrus?
I am so ready for some tacos. Hey, I just got a couple of emails that popped up that I'd like to read, if that is okay.
Okay, yeah, for sure.
All right, we got one from Joanne. And she says, Patrick, I just finished listening to the segment of you and the caller regarding abortion. I truly wish I could respond to people as you do when defending life. That was amazing. Wow. By listening to your response and the almost predictable comments made by the caller, it helps me to be a better defender of life. Thank you so much.
That is really nice.
How cool is that?
And then, yeah, thank you. Who is that from again?
That was from Joanne.
Okay. Thank you, Joanne. Yeah. I appreciate that.
And then we have another one here from Deb. And Deb is also talking about Claudio, who called in the beginning of this hour. So in about an hour, we'll have the podcast up. You can go to relevantradio.com. You can listen to that. You can grab it on the Relevant Radio app. And so Deb is also – let me turn that down. Deb is also calling.
Taco music.
That's right. Deb says, great job, Patrick. That conversation with Claudio was the best argument on abortion I've ever heard. You are wonderful. Wish I could be like that.
Oh, that's so nice.
Yeah, thank you, Deb.
I saw another email that just came through just in the last couple of moments. I don't know if you have that one in front of you, but that one is from...
Oh, I do see it, yeah.
Is that one from Maria Cristina? Yeah.
Maria Cristina, yeah. And she says, I thank God for putting Relevant Radio on my radar. I've listened to Patrick Madrid on the app every day for a few years now. I used to believe that I knew everything about my faith from my Catholic education all the way through high school, and I went to very good Catholic schools. Then I realized that I'm learning something new all the time on this program. And when I think, oh, now I've heard it all. Nope, I would be wrong. Because some new situation is discussed that strengthens my faith and knowledge in new ways. Thank you, Patrick, and thank you, Relevant Radio.
Oh, that's wonderful. And thank you, Cyrus, for reading those. Maria Cristina, thank you. I see you're listening in Fort Myers, Florida. So thank you. And a shout out back to you. Thanks for taking time to write to us. If you want to send me a message, just go to the show page, relevantradio.com/Patrick, and click on connect or contact, one of the two, and you can send it to us that way. Thank you. Let's go to Joanna in Fountain Valley, California. Good morning.
Patrick, I don't want the teen caller to think that I lied to him, but I cannot just say, how are you? And I cannot wait to see you in August, on August 3rd. I bought two tickets, one for me and one for one of the lady at the church. You know, she always listens to you, but she can't afford to go. So I can't wait. And I'm going to bring you and Nancy some egg rolls. I know your favorite. So
thank you. That's on August the 6th. Don't show up on the 3rd because I won't be there.
Yes, yeah, August 6th, August 6th. Though, right. August 6th, yes. So my question is, so two parts. I'm going to try to make it quick. First, I cannot believe that, you know, Rose's wave happened in my lifetime. And, you know, we always pray. We pray with relevant radio. I never thought this day would happen. Mm-hmm. Second, so my family's Catholic. We were raised Catholic. My grandpa, blood brother, was a priest. So my sister said, this is the part where she cannot be a good Catholic, because she said, what if a 14-year-old, 13-year-old girl gets raped? We forced her, a baby, technically she's a baby, to have a baby. Okay. Second, another friend who is Christian, she said that her mom was advised to aborted her because, you know, they don't think she would make it. Another person, another doctor said, do you have faith? She said, yes. The mom decided to have her. She's normal. She's 35, 36 mm-hmm. years old. Mm-hmm. She said, it happened to her, but she cannot force her believe on someone. And I'm just, I don't know what to say when she said that. She said she also worked with abused kids. So she said that we Catholic Christian, we celebrate it. We don't want abortion. But when the kids were born, you know, the kids is abused, the kids, you know, handicapped, right. The kids is autistic.
Let me start there. Can I start on that one, Joanna? Because that's a good place for me to start. So that is what you could say is you could say, first of all, you're assuming things in the future that you don't know whether they'll really happen or not. Most people are not abused. Some people are. That's true. It's always been true. Most people are not. So to say, on the one hand, that because it's possible that this person might be abused, or this person might become a drug addict, or this person might join a gang, or this person might go to jail, that's no reason to say, well, let's kill him. Let's take his life because something possible down the road might happen. Think about your own children. I mean, I have 11 children. And with each new child that comes into existence that my wife and I welcomed from the Lord, there's always that built-in, well, what if something bad were to happen down the road? Well, okay, we'll cross that bridge when we get to it. But in the meantime, we want to love and nurture this new person. And that's really the way I think that we should be talking about this, is that this is love-based. This is having compassion for people and not saying, let's put them out of our misery just because they might join a gang someday. Ultimately, and this is to your point, Joanna, because you said, like, you know, you can't force her to do anything. That's true, you can't. You can't force people to do anything. But we can appeal to their better natures. We can appeal to their heart. Because often in their minds, they have been so brainwashed by political and other ideologies that they can't think straight, or they won't think straight because they realize that if they think straight, it's going to jeopardize maybe a job or a career or who knows what. So if you can appeal to somebody's heart, especially on the grounds of this is an innocent human being and we don't have the right to take that person's life, I think there's a lot of potential for, you know, for gaining ground there. Would be my reaction. I don't have a lot of time, Joanna. You want to have the last word before I have to press on?
Yes, last word is, it wasn't me about, you know, that's my belief, but I cannot impose on someone. That wasn't me. It was from a friend. I just want to clarify that.
I see.
I believe wholeheartedly. I mean, I have a child who's 8. I get emotional thinking, you know, people who have kids and think, you know, I mean, you can just abort the kid, right?
Yeah.
So anyway, thank you for taking my call, and I cannot wait to see you on August 6th. Have a wonderful day.
Thank you,
Joanna. For everything.
Thank you. I look forward to August the 6th as well. Thank you. In the time we have, let's go to Joe in Bristol, PA. Good morning, Joe.
Hi, Patrick. I'm just going to throw a few points, and you can hit them all if you'll just let me do that. Okay. I think it's really important for your base to hear, and I thank you for... Thank you for everything that you're doing, first,
Thanks.
Before I continue.
Thanks.
Number one, if you look, everyone is complaining, you know, Democrat, Republican, forget all of that. If you ask most Democrats or Republicans, do we have an issue as far as violence in this country, they will say, yes, we do. Everybody's pontificating about Ukraine, this and that, and everything else. Okay, the bottom line is, If you have no respect for life in the beginning, how can you have respect for life in the end? There's a direct correlation to all of these murders in all of these cities. My boy was murdered, by the way. Okay? And they had the wrong car and the wrong people in the car. I lost my boy. And the bottom line is, when you look at the correlation, it's there. It's right before your eyes. We have this country at this particular, well, I'm not saying this country because we do, but it has lost its way with respect for life.
Let me jump in if I may, Joe, real quick. To your point, St. Mother Teresa said, any country that accepts abortion is not teaching its people to love, but to use any violence to get what it wants. And that's another way of saying what you're saying.
Absolutely, and I wholeheartedly. The other thing is, everything turns to racism for some reason or another. It goes to the race card. Blacks disproportionately are affected by all the Planned Parenthoods. Originally, this was created to exterminate blacks. They have to realize that. Something's wrong with this picture. We also, and then my body, my choice. No, not your body, not your choice, because the body inside your body is not your body. We have two, if you want to, right now on TV, you can hear the Constitution. We're not looking at it right. Well, okay, well, think about this. Our inalienable rights from the Declaration of Independence guarantees, you know, the right of, life, you know, the liberty and the pursuit of happiness. Right. The Fifth Amendment directly correlates to the fact that we can't touch anything. We can't touch your property. We can't do anything with your body.
Joe, I'm out of time. I apologize. You're passionate, and I appreciate that very much, but I've reached the end of my show here. So thank you for the passion. Again, from St. Mother Teresa, what is taking place in America, she said, is a war against the child. And if we accept that the mother can kill her own child, how can we tell other people, like Russia, not to kill one another? I think that says it all. Thanks, everybody. I'll be back again with you tomorrow. Please pray for me. I'll pray for you. God bless you.